Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting with them like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa of them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terrence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Right Style Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the drawer. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Episode 275 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, COB.
It's me, Terry Flower.
And today we're joined by
Seamus Reynolds,
aka
the Mindful Rambler.
Seamus, thanks for coming in. It was like I was saying to you there a few minutes ago, Damo was on our case.
Yeah.
You fucking better get Seamus when he was
No, he did. He threatened us.
Yeah, and he's a big bloke, Damo. So are you, by the way.
I seen you outside. I was like, I hope that's not him.
Because we like to get smart with the guest and all. I'm not getting smart. And you're a black belt in kickboxing. Fuck that. Seamus, thanks for coming in to us. Do you want to tell our listeners what it is you actually do?
Yeah. That sounds like a good plan. It depends what time of the day you catch me. Suppose what we're doing here today, hopefully, is a load of different nice breathing techniques. In yoga, they call it pranayama. I do a load of yoga and I do a load of martial arts. But my whole kind of mission since coming back to Ireland, I suppose, is trying to make this kind of ancient Eastern practice, make it very accessible to people, because you can use big language and we can go into the science, and we were talking a bit about breaking our fall a minute ago and physics of it, and it's good to go into depth on stuff, but like in 2 or 3 seconds or in 5 minutes with you lads, we should be able to kind of feel the effects of the different breathing techniques to either calm down the central nervous system if you're stressed out of it, or give you a G up if you've no energy, or help you kind of like get out of any thinking patterns that aren't working for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's helped me a lot. And it was gifted to me. Now I'm on a mission to try and, just to share it. Yeah.
And I think that was Damo's main purpose of us having you on, is he was helping us and he was saying, he's helping so many people and you lads are helping so many people. You need to get together. So he swears by you and the stuff that you do together. We had Damo on a couple of weeks ago. Do you want to tell us how you met Damo?
Well, first and foremost, I really appreciate both of you having me on, you know.
Thanks for coming into us.
Yous are doing great stuff, and when Damien rang me, he spoke very highly of yous, and anyone I've ever talked to, everyone speaks highly of yous. So yous are doing God's work and yous are sharing good messages and you're platforming people to kind of share messages, and it's brilliant. So
Very much, Seamus.
Damo, what can I say about Damo? Like, I love the fella, you know. I was a fan as a young fella, really admired him. After school, I went into a carpentry apprenticeship, but then in 2008, everyone lost their job. So I was like, what am I going to do? So I filled out the CAO and ended up getting back into college. And when I went back into college, I was a bit intimidated by the whole thing at the start, because even though teachers said I was bright, I maybe had my own personal doubts and questions, you know what I mean? And when I went in, I met this deadly lecturer called Colin Coulter. He's a Northern Ireland man, and he helped me kind of like gain self-belief in the way you approach knowledge, because knowledge really is like, you have knowledge, I have knowledge. Siobhan has knowledge, everyone has knowledge, right? And it's kind of just like, how do you present that knowledge? How do you articulate yourself and all this kind of stuff? But nobody's truth is kind of more superior than another anyway. I'm kind of rambling a bit. But I says to Colin, I want to study Damien Dempsey. And he says, who's Damien Dempsey? And I started showing him his music and stuff. I was like, when I was a teenager growing up, there was loads of brilliant aspects to where I grew up and great neighbours and a great family. But there was loads of kind of I suppose, challenges and pitfalls that people are falling into out in Balgaddy there. And again, a great neighbourhood. And when I was listening to Damien's songs, it gave me great sense of who I was and a sense of pride in who I was. And so I got to study him as my thesis. So I ended up writing a thesis or a little book on him. And when I reached out to his manager, says, here, you know, I want to write a thesis on Damien Dempsey. I'm calling it Damien Dempsey Gives Me Hope. Do you think he'd answer these questions? I get a phone call. Damien says he'll meet you for a coffee. I was like, oh. So I went into town and we were in a cafe on outside St. Patrick's Cathedral. He doesn't live there anymore, so I can say it. We were sitting there and after 2 minutes, we were like, we like each other. Do you know what I mean? And he goes, it's loud in here, Shamo. Let's go over. So brought me over to the gaff. I was looking around because I was fanboyed out of it. Do you know what I mean? And his humility and his willingness to share, and ended up writing the thesis on him. And years later then, when I start doing what I'm doing, he does a lot of kind of music and charitable work. I do a lot of this kind of stuff we're going to do in addiction centres. And he does a lot for different centres. And then his sound engineer, Jerry O'Donnell, was like, you and Damo need to get back together. And we got together again. And yeah, since then, just been privileged enough. He's just become a very good friend. Just kind of go out with him whenever I can. We go walking. We do a load of breathing and a load of this kind of stuff. And yeah, he's a legend, isn't he?
Brilliant. What a man. Yeah. He's honestly a legend. We first had Damo on, it could have been 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've been in touch ever since. And we meet him at the odd event here and there. And he's just...
He salted the earth.
He's just very real or something, yeah, isn't he? Like, I don't even know the word to put on it, but like every time you see him, he just embraces him with a big hug and he's like, all right, I love what you're doing. And it's just like, yeah, everything's just so real with him. He's, he's just a really good bloke. Like,
he's sincere. Like, he speaks so highly of you. Do you know what I mean? And like, straight away, you can see, you can feel it. He's very sensitive to energy, Damo.
Yeah, yeah.
He understands it. Like, the spirits touch him. Do you know what I mean? He gets it.
Yeah.
And when he's speaking, like, he's on a spiritual crusade with music.
Mm.
And he's trying to share this. We call it the holy well. He calls it that as well. Do you know? This power that's in your heart and in your belly. And sometimes when we're a bit down or we're a bit low or the negative thoughts or the demons are in the head. I used to think when I was younger, when I go to Thailand, I'll figure it out. That's where all the kind of hipsters go. They figured it out. Or if I go to India, I'll figure it out. So I went to Thailand and I went to India and I went to these places, but I brought my head with me.
Yeah.
Right? And then I realised there's something like penny drop. The 12 inches or whatever amount of space from the head to the heart, that's the most important trip you'll ever take. And his songs are about like getting to that holy well and drawing that out. You become very powerful when you're in there, do you know what I mean?
You can feel that at his shows, can't you?
Mm. The Mass of Damo.
Yeah.
What a show.
No, it is. It's palpable. You can feel it. You're like, oh, there's something happening here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's every single person is giving it their all beside you and they're singing their heart out. And you can tell that each individual has their own unique story related to the song that's being sang on the stage. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not just like, we're all going to sing Wonderwall because we know Wonderwall.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, no, the reason why I like this Damien Dempsey song is because it takes me to this moment in my life when I first heard it, or I relate to this person who I think he's singing about, or it applies to this situation in my life. And you can tell it's so personal to each person.
Yeah.
Like the first gig we went to, remember, everyone knew every word to every song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That wasn't a piss break song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? You know, there's one, there's always a break in a set. We're like, I'll go to the bar, I'll go to Jackson.
Yeah.
There was none of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And it was just 100 miles an hour. And he brought everybody up, he brought them back down, and he brought them back up again. And everyone was, he had everyone in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
And he just, you could tell he loved it. You know what I mean? I don't mean as in he had everyone on strings. He wasn't a puppet master, but it's like he was leading the orchestra.
Yeah.
That's what it was deadly.
Oh, man. I was very fortunate. Like a little while ago, we did a documentary together. It's going to come out in the next few weeks, so I suppose a good place to plug it, isn't it? We're calling it Between the Breath and the Song. So I did a load of the breathing, and we'll do a bit, I suppose, at some stage, with him out the back, and a bit of yoga. Because the other thing with yoga, I always had a thing in my head what yoga was, and then when you go into it, you're like, hang on a minute. It's like you've got the physical part, so your body doesn't feel tense. You've got the breathing part to calm your central nervous system, and you have a meditative part of it just to maximise your focus and your awareness, do you know what I mean? So we did a load of that with him in his garden, and then we went into the house and he banged out a few tunes, and then we sat down and we talked about, for him, how creativity and music was kind of his tonic or his therapy, and how it helps what we were just saying there, the listener and the artist. And then for me, the kind of practice in yoga is something similar, do you know what I mean? So yeah, Between Breath and Song, it's going to go out up on, I suppose, YouTube, isn't it? Yeah, put it out on YouTube.
Do you know when? Do you have a date on it?
I have the thing recorded months, but he was putting out his new album, so we were stalling it for that, but it's out now. So he messaged me a few weeks ago, says, let's throw that out. So probably in the next week or two. Mindful Ramblers, the kind of yoga name I'm going with. So that's the YouTube thing, if people want to look it up. There's another fella in England that's using the same name. He's banging videos out the whole time. So my one is the kickboxing yogi, and you'll see the big bald head there and all.
Yeah, brilliant. That, yeah, yeah, that's going to be powerful stuff.
I think so, man. Yeah, 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 yeah. Even on that, do you ever hear of a group of rappers out in Ballymun, Working Class Record lads? Costello and all that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. So after that thesis, I ended up doing a postgrad, and I did it on the Working Class Records lads. And yeah, because I was mad into the kind of...
just local music.
Yeah, and the hip-hop and all. I kind of started kind of with the guitar, doing a bit of rapping and all. Do you know what I mean? Back in the day. And I loved it. And I just loved seeing lads from certain backgrounds expressing themselves. And the sixth element of hip-hop is knowledge. Do you know what I mean? People know about the breakdancing. They know about the kind of emceeing. They know about the graffiti art. But the fifth element, I said sixth, didn't I? Yeah. The fifth element is knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then you see these lads talking about knowledge of self, knowing about your place, knowing how you arrived here, just like opening that third eye. Oh, I was mad drawn to that. Like, do you know, I was like, these are deadly. Mm. So, yeah, Costello, he's like the guy I admired a lot. Who else was out there? Lunatic was a rapper out there that passed away that they all kind of, G.I. and Will Ali and Dean Scurry and all them kind of lads are out there. Like, it was Damo put me wide to them at the time. And yeah, yeah, you see it now, like Versatile and other Irish rappers that are kind of making it more mainstream.
Nowadays, yeah.
Back then it was like pure, you were doing it, you'd be doing it in a Dublin accent and all people be slagging you over it. And it's changed now, thank God, yeah. But song is great.
Seamus, you have a great energy about you. We're going to jump into a breathing technique.
Yes, sir.
If you want. Yeah. Will we jump into that?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's
go. And we can see what happens and we'll have a chat about it after.
I don't know how this is going to translate for the listener, right? But what we'll try and do is we'll try and learn through doing. And if they want to do it at home, the only thing I'll say is don't do it if they're lying in water, if they're in the bath listening to you boys or anything like that.
And I hope not though.
The candles lit and all. Yeah.
Feel Yankee candles.
Alvin and Terrence's photo up on the wall.
Brilliant.
But if they're in a bath, like, and then the other thing is like, because I've seen you boys are fit. I watched you do a 5K in under 20 minutes recently.
Yeah.
That's impressive, bro.
I don't think I'm doing it now, but.
But that's like, that's
what
it.
Do you mean?
That's
no,
high
no,
level.
A few weeks ago.
No, it wasn't. It was about a month ago, and I haven't really ran much since then. No, it is high level. And
that's high level.
It is high level. Yeah.
No joke. Like.
Yeah, no, and it was tough.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, banked there. I didn't. Yeah. I went to the depths of it. Like.
Yeah. So I'm a plodder, right? I'd say my 5K be about 26 minutes, that type of 25, 26, 27, 28, 30. I'm a plodder, right? So when I watched that, I was like, wow. Do you know, if I tried to keep up with you running, I'm going to end up in the ditch. I have a funny story. I did another one of them documentaries. You had a fella on here, Ken O'Driscoll, in the
yes.
Yeah. So I did a documentary of him a while ago out in Cherry Orchard.
Yeah.
And he did a load of the yoga and the breathing. And then we went out running, right? And I did the interview running with him. And he's a runner. Like that man,
yeah,
he's a beast. He's
an engine. Yeah.
So we're running. We nailed it. We're going in and out around Cherry Orchard and everyone's beeping. And it was just like, this is going to be great. And you know, in your head, you're like, this is going so well and all. I loved it. We're running for about an hour. Asked everything. He was going into a story. You've had him on, so you know it's a powerful story, you know. Yeah. And we arrived back and then the girls, they're like, we never hit play. Oh. I swear to God, I was looking at them, and you have to stay positive, right? He can run all day, so for him it was fine, but I was looking going, I'm not a runner. I just kept up with an ultra marathon runner for 10K. So we went out again, and if people go onto YouTube and watch it, you'll see the thing. I'm sweating at the start of it, like, so Ken, what's the story? You know? But anyway, I was saying all that to, if I tried to keep up with you running, I'm going to be in bits, right? So it's kind of getting out of the ego a little bit and listening to my body. So people are at home and they're doing the breathing. If it gets a bit funky, like you feel it, you're going to hyperventilate a little bit and stuff like that. So it might feel a little bit unusual. Don't be afraid. But if it feels too much, just stop. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially if you're not kind of, you know, look up maybe a few YouTube videos or go to a class and get a little bit of guidance from someone that you trust in the beginning. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But you lads, I know yous are kind of, yous would be sound for it and keep an eye, right?
Let's rock.
All right, so.
So sorry, just before we get started, if someone is at home and listening to this, they can join in to what you're about to do here.
If they want to try it,
give
it a whack. Make sure you're sitting down comfortably or lying on your back. And if it gets too much, just stop.
Yeah.
Right?
Actually, Calvin, you come in. What was the first thing you said?
I said, "I smell of incense."
Yeah. And I said, "It smells like a funeral." When I walk, so there's. What's this instrument over here?
Oh man,
it looks like a. What do they call the thing you hang up in your window? It's like a wind chime.
Yeah,
in your window.
You put that them up in the new
guy. That one there, look.
What's that now?
Yeah. Well, he has got a wind chime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sounds like someone's at the door. And then this one here with, what are they, like shells and sounds, Eddie?
They're dried out fruit.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, so that's going to give you the sound of the ocean, right? And then we've got our singing bowls, we've got our butter bowls and whatnot.
This can't be legal.
You can have a shot at the end if you want.
Yeah,
yeah, they're deadly. Yeah. Do you want a shot now? Get in there. Just run it along the side. Yeah, give it a little rub. Yeah, keep going in a full circle. Keep going around and keep going. It'll keep building. It'll keep building. Yes. Whoa. Whoa. So a lot of this kind of stuff is, they're used for sound baths, they're called. And, with my yoga and all, the people asked me years ago, I'll reveal everything today, yeah. It was like, what do you call your yoga and all? And I was on the spot. So I just made up a name. It was like, fusion yoga. And they were like, what's that one like, you know? Because I was like, it's kind of a, I fuse all the different disciplines together, right? And then I thought, geez, that sounded great. And then it just stuck like.
Yeah, like a jack of all trades one.
Yeah, kind of. Well, see, this is the thing. Like, all yoga started from Hatha. Have you ever heard of Hatha yoga? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Hatha's sun and Tha's moon. And it's the kind of balance in between kind of masculine, feminine, the kind of solar and lunar and all that, right?
Is that like the yin and the yang?
The yin and the yang and the Chinese kind of, exactly, that kind of balancing, right? Because we're all, this is the other thing, we're all a mix of energy. Do you know what I mean? And we go down into that kind of, that balancing of energies, that kind of realignment and stuff that we have to do eventually just to kind of live a more wholesome life. Because at the end of the day, I don't really know exactly what's going to work for you lads, right? But I can say from my own experience that I was kind of leaning too heavy into one for a while. And then when I realigned it, I think I went too far the other way. Do you know what I mean? And then it was like, I kind of ended up in a funny story in Peru working with this shaman. And he was kind of like, do you know what? You're a warrior for light. So go back into your divine masculine and just reimagine and redefine masculinity. Do you know what I mean? That there's can be a strength in vulnerability, but still we need strong men. And it was kind of like, I love that because I kind of went from, you know, when you're a young fella and you're kind of growing up and you have to have your guard up, you know? And then I lost my mom. My dad was a pretty decent kickboxer himself. And so I had all these images and I was going around with this mask on a little bit, you know. My nickname was Smiler, so I was still a bit of a bouncy fella. But I was like, you know, always guard up. And then when I went down the kind of tantra yoga route and I started looking at energies, I went the other way, you know, where a shampoo ad would make me cry and all. And then I was like, hang on a minute, you know, and you kind of come back up. But yeah, anyway, that was Hatha. That's where yoga came from. And then all these various forms started springing up. Like, so you have all these forms of vinyasa. You're up and down like a yo-yo. Yin yoga. You talk about yin and yang. It's very passive, do you know?
I'm not trying to be smart. Does that mean there's a yang yoga?
Well, yang is just the active part. So if you're doing vinyasa and you're up and down, that's quite yang energy. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like yin and yang, like you relax sometimes and then you run sub 20 minute 5Ks other times. So it's kind of like balancing those things. So within yoga, there's active yoga if you're quite an energetic person. But then if you're kind of like always on the go, you just need to relax, you're better off doing the yin stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
See what I got the name Rambler? Because I used to be the tour guide. So my guys called me Mindful Rambler. But I can tend to ramble as well. So I think we were about to start a breeding technique. And I start going into the 2,000 year history of yoga. So, we're going to do in this breeding technique. Pranayama. Right, prana means breath, but also means life force, and yama just means control. Use it both in breathing since the day you're born, right? Like if you stop breathing, you're gone. You know, the last thing you'll do in this realm is an exhalation, and the first thing you did in your born is an inhalation. So no one needs to tell you to breathe; you're just gonna do it. But when you breathe consciously, you can induce states. That means if you're having a bit of a panic attack, you can relax with a breath. And then if you're a bit tired and you want to G up, you can G yourself up with a breath. So maybe the way we can do it, if for anyone that's listening, if they have a bit of anxiety or they're anxious and stuff, it's better to do kind of controlled breathing. So we say that you sit up in yoga or when you're doing breathing, you don't have to force it. But the reason being, if you're slouching, you're crushing your lungs. You can't get the air in, you know. And nose is preferable for most techniques, but mouth breathing works sometimes as well, especially if your nose is blocked, you know. But all we're going to do, first thing and foremost, if people sit up and just close their eyes and just take a notice or take note of where they're at right now, and the head might be going fast, it might be going slow. You put one hand on your heart and then you just take a deep breath in through your nose all the way to your belly for four. Hold it for a second and then slow out the mouth for six. In for four. Hold for two. And out for six. One more, in for four. Hold for two. And out for six. As you do one more yourself, big breath in for four. Hold for two. Slow out the mouth for six. I want you to witness the sensations in your shoulders as your face relaxes. Start to bring the awareness down into the heart. A big part of today's practice is getting out of the head and into the heart, down into the holy well. One more at your own pace. Taking that deep breath in, following the air down to the belly, holding it for two, and then as you exhale, just let go of anything that doesn't serve you. That's it. And you just relax then. Just relax. Well done. Another technique that's very good if you're feeling a bit tense is 4-7-8. So this time we're going to breathe in for four again, nice and deep. We're going to hold it for seven this time, and then we're going to slowly let it out for eight. So together we empty the lungs. Big breath in for four. Hold it for seven. And out the mouth for eight. Again, big breath in for four. Hold for seven. That's it. And you can relax there. So, big part of this kind of breathing is just taking control of the breath. Think about a kid. When a kid is frightened or gets nervous, the breath gets very rapid, you know? So you're trying to calm the breath down. If anyone has kids that do get into a little state of panic, ask them to smell flowers. No, you can't smell it. Can you not see it? And they're using their imagination. Can you not see it? Smell it, smell it. And then blow out a candle. Or do you know the big clown balloons, the big long balloons? You get them to try and blow up the balloon. Come on, come on. Because if you can control the exhale for a long, the inhale will take care of itself. So stretchy balloon or candle and flowers for the little ones, you know?
Yeah.
So that one there is just to slow it down if you're feeling nervous. Another thing you can do is 4-4-4-4. So you're just in for four, hold for four, out for four and whatnot.
It's the box, isn't it?
The box breathing, exactly, yeah. And then I suppose, see, I'd love to have it. Come to me session, because if I had 2 hours with you, we'll go through the whole lot, you know what I mean? But given the time and stuff, let's say that you've got the box, 4-7-8, 4-2-6. They're three decent ones to calm yourself down, you know, at night. And the other thing when you're doing it, try to like, how can I say this? We can imagine in our mind's eye anything, right? So someone was saying to me, well, like, I can't meditate. A lot of people say, I can't meditate. But, like, what is real meditation? It's just coming back into the seat of consciousness, or not using big language like that, let's say it's just being aware. So if you're lying there and your head is in a loop, but you're aware that your head is in a loop, you're in a state of meditation. It's the awareness is the essence of a meditation. And then the head going fast is the experience, right? So when someone's lying there, when they just become aware of it, what you've done now is you've created separation between the awareness and the thought. Because if I say to you now, purple elephant, you can imagine a purple elephant. And I can say to you, a green man jockeying a purple elephant, you can imagine it. And now it's coming down the home straight in Ascot and it's about to win. How the fuck's a purple elephant going to win in Ascot? But it's going for it. It's going for it. It's going for it. And now the imagination is going, what? You can imagine anything, right? But on the flip side of that, sometimes the movie in the head is just playing and it's on loop. It's like if you fall asleep with YouTube on and you wake up and the video, you started by watching the Talking Bollocks podcast and you wake up the next morning and it's some weird shit on the telly, right? Because the thoughts left to their own devices will go where they go. So when you're meditating, you're bringing back the awareness and you're just kind of witnessing whatever's there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing it with boxers, or if I'm doing it with like soccer players, or I'm doing it with people in early recovery, or you're doing it with anything, it's kind of like, let go of the expectation. You know, everyone thinks, oh, I can't meditate because I'm not in nirvana. It's like, just be aware. You know what I mean? So when you're in that meditation, just be aware of what's going on. Bring the awareness down into the heart. And then I promise you that any thoughts that aren't serving you will be less powerful. Do you ever go to cinema and watch like a horror movie? And you'd be twitching to it. And that's only two-dimensional. That's sight and sound, right? Could you imagine in your thoughts, it becomes 5D. So you can smell, you can see, you can feel in your thoughts. It's so real. You're jumping, your nervous system's going rotten. But when you're in the cinema, they turn the light on. That same Hannibal Lecter movie loses its power because you're like, oh yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Think about your thoughts. It's the same. Like, you know, when you're aware, boom, go away you if it doesn't serve me, you know? Will we do a bit of trippy breathing? That's the calm. How did that make you feel? Sorry.
Calm, yeah.
Yeah?
Calm.
Yeah, definitely more present or something like that. Boys, you looked HD nearly because the eyes are closed. I turned back God's bright lights and said, oh, I'm in the podcast. Yeah, no, it felt good, yeah.
Do you know what I hate about all that though? It's what? Like, because you're like, take a deep breath in and then you're like, now feel your shoulders. And I'm like, how could I not feel my shoulders before he said it?
Yeah,
you know, like it's so
you don't realise you're tense, like.
Yeah, but when he's like, now you feel it, your shoulders are loose, your face is loose. I was like, yeah, now they are. Yeah, I was like, why weren't they 10 seconds ago?
Yeah.
Now that you said it, like nothing has changed.
Yeah.
You just like feel your face. I was like, oh yeah, it is loose.
It's the power. See, this is a trippy thing, right? Right, so we're getting into it. Look at your hand. If you just put your hand out like that, have a look at your hand, right? If you just start to stare at your hand and stare at your fingers, in about now they'll tingle. Your fingertips will start tingling.
I don't like this.
Right? But you can shift energy, you can shift prana around your body with just awareness. If you put all your awareness into your hands and into your fingertips, they warm. You can generate heat. Wim Hof shows this a lot and you can rest it there. When you're doing meditation, you can shift that awareness around your body. Because imagine like you taught kids, you're stressed. Do that breathing for 20 minutes and then learn to come into your body. And you can transform that stress. Do you know what I mean? Or imagine instead of detention in school, you did meditation. Just imagine that. Because like when you're in school, when I used to get detention a lot, I had a great teacher, Miss Higgins, and years later I realised she actually loved me. She was trying to just, you know, because I wasn't a bad kid, I was just excitable. But imagine sitting the kid down and doing meditation or doing breathing with them, getting them just calm down, rather than punishing them because they can't sit still. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if they want it, speaking of Wim Hof, if you're at home and you want to get a bit of G up, right, there's different breathing techniques. Now we're going to kind of go into faster paced breathing, right? So let's try one of them if you want. Do you want to try that?
Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Right? So when you do a hold, it's called retention. So if you want to take a big breath in for four, hold it. Now as you hold it, I want you to engage your abs, squeeze them like you're flexing for a photo. And then I want you to squeeze your glutes and squeeze your legs and squeeze your arms and pull that energy up to your base, your neck. And then relax all your muscles and then relax your breath. Okay. So that's going to be called a banda. That's when we're going to hold at the end, right? When we're going into it, nose or mouth, there's different ways you can do this, but this is kind of, you're going to take a big breath in, fill your belly, chest. I want you to visualize it coming up to your head like that. And then just let it go. Instead of breathing out, you just let it go. Fully in, let go, Fully in. Let go. That's it. Find a rhythm now. Deep in. Let go. Fully in. Let go. As soon as you let go, you go in again. Fully in. Let go. That's it. Challenge yourself now. Deep breath in. Letting go. You're doing great. Deep breath in. Letting go. Fully in. Letting go. Fully in. Letting go. Excellent. Find that rhythm. Don't slow down. Don't slow down. That's it. Find that rhythm. To be an alchemist, people think, is to change steel to gold. But we're going to change negative experience to positive understanding. We're going to oxidate the body. We're going to lower inflammation in the body. That's it. You're doing well. Don't slow down. Go deep into it now. About now, if you've been doing it, you might start noticing your body temperature getting a little different. You might find yourself getting slightly lightheaded. That's okay. It's natural. I just want you to breathe into the sensations. Your fingers might start to tingle a little. Almost there. 10 more. Big breaths. Fully in. Let go. Almost there. Let's go. That's it. Fully in. Like a wave. Let go. Almost there. 5 more. 4. 3. 2. 1 more now. Fully in. And then fully out and hold without air. Breathe out fully. Empty the lungs and then hold and relax. Without air. A moment ago, we spoke about this idea of awareness. Now you're aware that you're aware. We looked at our hand and felt the tingling. Notice that wherever you put your attention in your body will come alive. Hold them now for another little bit. When you really need to take a breath in, I want you to make a big exaggerated inhalation. I want to hear a real loud inhalation. The seat of consciousness, awareness, the true self. Our body is ever changing. The thoughts we feel are ever changing. The feelings we have are ever changing. But that awareness that you're experiencing right now is permanent. When you really need to breathe, I want a big exaggerated in-breath. When you've done your in-breath, I want you to lock in your bandha. Big breath in. Well done. Now hold. Now engage your abs. Engage your glutes. Squeeze the body. As we flex, we pull the prana up our spine to the base of the neck, to the head. Hold for as long as you can. When you really need to let go, I want to hear a mad, exaggerated, loud exhalation. Like you're letting go of any bollocks you've been carrying with you. Well done. As we settle in, we start to play with the breath a bit. We're going to do down to the mouth straight away, okay? The mouth's going to get the air in faster. We're going to get high on our own supply. Yup, the lads. So with this one, you're going to breathe in the mouth, out the mouth. In. Let's go. That's it. Challenging yourself. Well done. If you're fit, if you're doing your 5Ks, I want you to go for this now. That's it. If it gets too much, take the foot off the pedal. Otherwise, we're breathing into the sensations. We're almost there. Fully in, let go. That's it. Almost there. We're going to do 10 more. Almost there. Let's go. Almost there. Suck in the air, let it go. Suck it in, let it go. That's it. 5 more. 4, 3, 2. This time, fully in, all the way in. All the way in. Hold that in-breath. Hold it. Oh, that's all right. Hold it. Engage your core. Engage your arms. Engage your glutes. Squeeze your bit between your bits. And pull it right up the spine. Squeeze. For 5. Let it go.
Fuck. fucking.
So
are we done?
So with this, it's kind of like, depending on your time allowance, you just keep going until you reach the holy well. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're not used to it, you can really get it after one or two goals. You're like, did you feel that in there?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how. I was just like, had a temperature. Like, you mentioned your temperature and then that was sweating. I was like, what the fuck?
My hands are sweating.
Sweating, yeah. I was sweating down there. I don't know why. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, yeah. I was sweating.
My head felt like a balloon.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
On the exhale, I just felt empty. I genuinely was convinced if I stood up and stood on the scales, I'd be lighter.
Yeah, you probably would.
That's how I felt, yeah.
Think of what we carry around with us and you just let it go. Do you know what I mean?
I wasn't in a mad deep thought or anything like that.
Good.
that's the point, like. Yeah, no, but like, I wasn't like thinking heavy or that. Like, I was just trying not to die there, like.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm a few breaths away from death, I feel.
Yeah.
I was low, you had a temperature raising, my hands were sweating. I was like, what's going on here?
Just a little more.
I'm a very big advocate for recovery, you know, and I'm not going to bash anyone, tell them the right or wrong way for recovery. It's whatever works for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I kind of gave up the parties and that type of life, I was like, I felt a sense of mourning. Like, do you know what I mean? I missed it. I loved it.
Do you not still feel like that at all, ever?
To be honest with you, now when I'm doing the likes of this, or I'm doing like cold
sorry
water,
for no, you're all right. Well. Sorry.
No, but I occasionally I will. Yeah. Like, for me, it's kind of like at certain occasions, I might get euphoric recall for half an hour and then it'll pass, thank God. Or if I'm a bit down, I get it. But I've kind of built in structures and I have good men around me that I might give a call or whatever, you know.
Same, yeah.
And lean into it. But with the breathing side of things, it kind of fills a void because... Right, we did that there for a few minutes and we're trying to make it kind of podcast friendly and whatnot. But if I didn't even get to go whacking these because I left the mic. But like when you get mad into it, you can go as deep as anything, you know, colours and all the rest of it. Like,
and I just say, I can imagine if like everything was going there and you're in the middle of doing that.
Oh.
So that second one there, that's the one that gets you amped up. That's to get you going.
The first up, as you were one, saying. Kind of, like, do you know what it is? Like, the first one we did was kind of the first Wim Hof's one that I kind of familiarised myself with. Wim Hof's the Iceman, Dutch guy, legend, I think he's.
Yeah, we know him, yeah.
Speaks about 10 languages. He speaks Sanskrit, this ancient yoga language, but he simplifies it down to, breathe, fuckers. I'm like, I love this guy. And he's got a mad backstory, like losing his wife, raising 4 kids, and he found this kind of practice and it saved them, and then he's on this crusade to share it with people, you know, because he lost his wife to suicide and all, so he was like, I need to share this with the world, you know. And he could easily make it very complicated, but he simplifies it to breed fuckers, and then when you read his books he goes more into it, you know. So that first one we did there was his original one, and then because we've got a short amount of time, I just switched into this kind of like this kind of or like this mouth breathing technique, just to kind of G it up a bit. But if you were doing it, or if you were doing it in a group, I'd be switching between that and that, and then going into the 4 and 4. You'd be just reading the room to try and, it's like you're taking someone on a journey. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you have a PT, right? You go into the gym and you're working out, you're not going to do the same workout for everyone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're trying to find that safe, here's the first breath workout that people can engage with. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, that was powerful. That was mental.
Yeah.
That was, that's the first time I think we've ever done something like that. I think we've tried like yoga and meditation at times and done a few bits here and there, but it's nothing with the breathing like that.
Will you just come out and do a proper retreat?
100%.
I did an event a couple of weeks ago with a friend called A Soulful Sunday, a friend of mine, Dave, and we put on a half-day event where we did a lot, like I did a load of this, like breathing, and then he did like a yoga nidra meditation, and then we did like a satsang, that's a knowledge share, where we kind of talk about kind of just knowledge itself. Do you know what I mean? Because what good is it to be book smart if you don't know who you are in here? Do you know what I mean? So we talked a little bit about that, and then just tried to have a good time on all that stuff. But when we're doing the next one, I'll
I think people sometimes nearly having a perception that you have to be down and out or like riddled with anxiety or suffer with panic
attacks. You have to need to do it.
Yes. Yeah. I think people sometimes feel that you have to need to do it.
Yeah.
What would you say to that? Like if somebody feels like, oh no, I'm not down and out, I feel all right, I'm in a peaceful place.
Yeah, I was in, do you know Mondello, the racetrack?
Yeah.
I was out with them on Wednesday. Roddy is the managing director out there. He got me out to work with all the lads, the staff. So I did a load of it, you know, like proper session. And afterwards, you're sitting there and it's, for people who don't know, Mondello's like a
racetrack. Yeah.
And they have like Ferraris and Porsches and all sorts of cars. And they're hosting Europe's first, in 30 years, Ireland's first time hosting the European Championships there in a few weeks and all. And after they did it, they were all like, whoa, that's mad and stuff. And we were talking about, like you just said there, the Ferraris. And I said, imagine you had a Ferrari on the road and it did its fastest lap ever. And then the next one, it did a faster lap. And then the next one, it did a faster lap. Could that keep going indefinitely? And the mechanics were like, no, of course not. And I was like, why not? And he's like, we'd have to refuel or change the tires or, you know, calibrate it. And I don't know a lot about cars, but I'm maxed out. But I understood that much. So imagine you're a high-performing athlete or a podcaster. And it's like, right, you don't need to be down, but what's the difference between being really good or elite? It's these different little small things. Like I saw the England football team. I know we can slag them to bits and all, but they've got a breathwork coach now and they're working with them. I have a friend out in, that I work with now as well, Shane Peppard, and he's a pure gentleman. And he coaches a lot of, he coaches a football team in Clondalkin, Castle Park. And last year he managed Collinstown under-18s. And I sponsored them for the year. And I basically was doing breeding before the matches. They won the league and all. But see, when you're doing that breeding and then you're lying down there and you're tripping, then you kind of like drop in thoughts of like, you're brilliant. Like, what did Ali say? I am the greatest. I am the greatest. This at a time in America when he couldn't even sit in certain restaurants
with
his skin colour.
Yeah.
And he's putting his hands up saying, I am the greatest. I am that I am. Well, when you're in that kind of translucent, kind of trippy state, you can plant seeds in there for yourself or someone else can put them in there like, you're great, you're healthy, you're whatever, you know. So I was doing that with the footballers and a lot of kind of, so to answer your question again, why would you not just want to feel, like if you're feeling good, why would you not want to feel better? If you're feeling bad, why would you not want to feel less bad? Do you get me? Like we all need to breathe.
Yeah.
Think about if you ever go hiking or do you ever up a tall mountain, the air is lower at altitude. It's harder to exercise.
Oh, yeah? No.
So
I was in, nearly was in Peru.
Were you in Peru?
Yeah.
Deadly. Where'd you go?
Rainbow Mountain.
Ah, deadly.
Yeah, got sick on the side of it, nearly died.
Were you chewing the cocoa leaves?
No, not Rainbow Mountain. I'm lying. Hamante Lake. Hamante Lake.
Right.
That's when I took the bang off. But I went to Rainbow Mountain. I was fresh. I was chewing the leaves and all. You don't know.
I spent a year and a half in South America. I loved it down there. And I worked with this shaman fella. He was amazing. And that was the thing that showed me that, you know, my experience with recovery involved plant medicines. I don't know if they're for everyone. And I never claimed that my recovery is what it is, you know. But I drank the ayahuasca with him. And that was outside PSAC. And it was power. Did you do the plant medicines while you were there?
No. But the one thing I did say when they were giving us blade and stuff for the altitude sickness. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you can take this from the chemist, or you can take the natural one. And I went with the natural one.
Yeah.
Should have went with the one from the chemist.
Okay. It was too much, was it?
It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I didn't, do you know what I mean? Because you're drinking the tea and you're trying to eat the leaves. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it'll be grand. But obviously, I didn't do enough of it. Like, do you know what I mean?
But think about that, right? So when you're there, you're getting sick because there's not enough air.
Mm.
But like, if we're only walking around on the day and we're only half breathing, so how are you performing to your full capability?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you're just putting like premium fuel into your body.
Yeah.
And that's it. Do you know what I mean?
It's something that I don't think enough people think about as well. It's only until you kind of do a breathing technique.
Mm.
You're kind of going, oh shit, I'm half-arsing this thing, this breathing thing. You know what I mean?
Well, that's it. And it's not to take yourself too seriously. Do you know what I mean? Like what I love about you lads and what yous are doing is like, yous are both smart lads. I can see it and I've experienced it and listened to you. But you're trying to share a message in a language that everyone can get.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And there's something powerful in that, you know?
Yeah, but just to go back to what you were saying there, like you were talking about dealing with like elite sports athletes and people who are like elite walkers, etc.
Yeah.
But I think this is more applicable to like everyday life. That's like, so back to the forced breath exercise that you're doing, you were like, if anyone's feeling anxious, you can try this. But I think a lot of people need to realise, you know, like in times of panic or something's at the happening,
you just control your breathing, changes the whole outcome of what's going on around you then.
100%. Here's one for you, right? It's lovely day outside today, right? It's lovely and sunny. If we went out tomorrow and it's raining, right? You might be like, oh, I missed the sun. But you're going to just get on with the day because you don't try and control the weather with your thinking, do you? Like, nature is going to do what nature does. So we know not to be screaming at the sky and whatnot. We put on a jacket or we put on shorts, yeah? So, like, if you can't control the weather, you can't control other people, you can't control other things, why would you waste all this energy trying to change them? Instead, what you do is you navigate them with awareness. Oh, it's raining, I'll put on a jacket. The next level of this understanding is, I can't control the thoughts that pop in my head or the feelings that come up in me, just like the weather, but I can control how I interact with them. Do you get me? Like, if I'm feeling down, we're not robots, like, do you know what I mean? I lost one of my best friends a couple of months ago, Alex Laws. He was a lovely man, like, lovely. He was doing real well. He had a brewery, Whiplash. He had a pub in Smithfield, Fidelity, and he was flying. We lost him too young, you know? And it really impacted me, like, just that raw pain, you know, like, pure, confusion. And what good is it being a kickboxing coach or a yoga instructor or whatever different hats that we wear if in that moment of pure pain, I threw my dolly out of the pram and start kind of making it about me? So I had to go through that grieving process and not slip up in my recovery, and if you will. That was very challenging.
Mm.
But what I did was the techniques we did there, I just kept it that simple, do you know what I mean? I let myself kind of cry. I let myself, you know, in private, I wouldn't be like too public about stuff like that, but I was crying in private, I was grieving, and I was letting the thing flow through me. A lot of soldiers, they do that 478, you know, that 478 with PTSD and all, because if you're up, what is anxiety, right, but this over obsessive thought loop about what might happen or what happened? That's what kind of what anxiety is. It's just like you're catastrophizing the future or you're reliving some past event that was traumatic. The secret to escaping anxiety is getting into your senses, because in the present, like, we're sitting in this room having a bit of a laugh, slagging Siobhan's Galwayness, you know what I mean? Sorry, I love Galway. Galway's a great county. We're down there, but you know what I mean. We're slagging each other, and you know, there's no tiger in the room. You know. So to answer your question, if someone is up in the head or they have a serious loss, to go into your breathing, to go into your body, to get into your senses, do you know what I mean? And that's gonna be the key to kind of to kind of releasing a lot of that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Even in the sense of an emergency, though, something's at the happening, bang, panic is like, right, take a few deep breaths, relax. Yeah. Now we can deal with this. Now we know what to do here.
Yeah.
Get on top of this. Because the last thing you need is everyone in the room panic. Someone has to be in charge.
Oh, man. I always found, like, when I did my tour guiding, I was very good in panic situations, you know? Like, something would happen. But what would happen to me is the situation would be resolved. Do you know what I mean? Like, something would happen, like a fight or someone get injured or whatever. I'd just be pretty good at just tuning in. But what used to get me was the situation be resolved. And then I'd have this, like, this release. Do you know, this adrenaline dump. And that's when I'd need the breathing. So, like, do you know what I mean? Like, some people in that moment, depending on it, might be, or breathe to relax. But sometimes it's when the situation finishes and the adrenaline leaves your body, you're like, what's going on here? Like, you know?
Seamus, what we always do with guests, and I'm not going to do it now because we're so far in, we usually go back to the start, but it's no point doing that now. I feel like we're so far in and we can save that for another day, because I'm sure there'll be a part two with yourself. But you did speak about your recovery there, and if you want to touch on that, so how long are you in your recovery, and was breathing a big thing for you at the start of your journey, or was that something you found later into it?
Yeah, like, kind of a little bit late. If I'm being real honest, a little bit later, kind of. My recovery is like, how would I describe it? When I was in college doing the thesis on Damo that we talked about, I was into the music and all the rest of it. And at the weekend, I worked in Guinness's as a tour guide. So I did that for years, like. So I started kind of developing a big tolerance for it. Do you know? Now, I was running a kickboxing gym in Maynooth at the time. So I was training and all, but then just partying a lot at night. You know, it was very recreational. For me, it was all parties in the beginning, you know? And then when I kind of went abroad, after working a little bit in the community sector, I started teaching the hip hop a little bit for a while after college. But I got a bit burnt out because I was very good at getting young lads to open up. But then I didn't have these tools yet. So I was going home lying in bed, freaking out about what I'd just been told. Do you get me? I didn't have the skills to decompress. So I Googled fun jobs abroad and I ended up doing the tour guiding, you know, on the buses all around Europe with Top Deck, 18 to 40 year olds. Did that for 2 years, just bringing Aussies around Europe on a tear up. And because I was Seamus, who could sing folk music and drink more than anyone, I leaned into that part of my identity very heavily and just kind of became the Irish caricature, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, so that was full on. But at the time, in the mornings, I was still, group cohesion was important. You have 50 people on a bus and after a week, half of them have bleeding slept with each other, half of them are fighting and you're just trying to make, we're a travelling family, we're a tramily, you know, a little bit incestuous, but we're all good, like relax and trying to get everyone present and all. So I'm reading books on yoga, reading books on mindfulness, but then getting absolutely wrecked every night. Does that make sense? And then after about a year, I had a little bit of a bleeding fall down. I didn't tell anyone about that for years, but I just collapsed one day. And the doctor kind of said, I ended up getting rushed to hospital and I thought it was a bleeding heart attack. But it was just, I was on a 3-day tonga party in Rome without sleeping. Do you know that kind of way? Like tonga, 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 with a bug, fall down, bang. So then I explained to the doctor, he's like, when's the last time you slept, type of thing? And then when we looked into it, it's like, I've drank every day for years, because after a month the tour bus will finish and they'll go home and detox with mammy and I'm getting the next group. Do you get me? So I'm going again and then again. And you pull up to any nightclub in Europe with 50 people, 45 of them girls in their 20s, you're every publican's best mate.
Yeah,
so they're just throwing stuff at you. So yeah, it was at that stage I got a bit freaked out and I was reading the book, so I kind of just quit because my nephew was being born and I just wanted to be a positive role model for him. So I used him. That was before any kind of fellowships or anything like that. And after a couple of years of sobriety, I slipped back in because I was like, oh, we can do this. You know, I was living in Argentina and just have a few glasses of wine, like, you know. And then that was grand. And I was excelling in my job and all because I'd be high functioning. Like, I'm not, my nickname's Smiler. I'm the jolly drunk. Do you get me? But again, after a month, my sides were hurting again. And I was like, oh, Jesus. And then packed it in again. I did a load of ayahuasca and then I was like, if I don't stop, I'm going to bleeding be stopped. So then I stopped, and then when I came home, I met a guy, he's a good friend now, and he was like, very good kickboxer now, do you know, very good kickboxer. The Muay Thai lads are the hardcore ones, they don't use belts, you know, and they're the hardest of the hard. And I got a lot of identification with him, started going to the different, linking him with fellowships and meeting good friends. And then I started doing a lot of this in centres and I thought, you know what, if I want to really be authentic in what I'm doing, I have to walk the walk as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can't fake it.
Yeah. Because
people will feel that off you. You have to kind of like embody the thing that you want to share. Because if I don't have water, I can't give it away, can I? So if I don't have this thing, I can't share it. So that's what I kind of started leaning into a little bit, you know. And so we'll be 7 years in August without a drink.
Brilliant.
Straight. It would have been about 11 brilliant. Years if I didn't do my little slips, you know?
Yeah, of course, but,
7 years. Now, one day at a time.
Yeah.
Mm. And look, if you can have a drink, if you can have whatever, and it works for you, happy days.
Yeah.
But I just started like looking at who I don't even regret aspects of my life up to then, but just kind of getting real with who am I at this stage of my life. Like, I heard you have a young fella now, is it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so you have a new role and you have a new... As fun as the kind of teenage years were, you have a different kind of chapter. Like, how boring would a book be if every page was just the same? Do you get me? Like, you evolve, like, do you know what I mean? The acorn becomes the oak and all that kind of jazz. So.
Yeah.
But that's my recovery now. And what is recovery? I don't know. Like, do you ever see the stone sculptors?
Yeah.
It's like they chip away and chip away and chip away. And what they're chipping away is the parts that you're not. And eventually you'll get to that bit in the middle of who you are. So it's kind of like trying to unlearn and chip away at maybe aspects of yourself or myself that I'd picked up and try to find that true ourself. Do you know what I mean? Without taking it too serious. Like, it should be lighthearted and all.
No, it doesn't have to be. Like, if the subject matter is serious, let's be serious about it. Do you know what I mean?
No, don't get me wrong. Like on a Friday, I'm out in Ballyfermot Star. And it's a community education program. I've been there 4 years. Magical people out there. The workers are brilliant, you know. Barry and Sheila and Shay and Julie and their whole team are brilliant. And a lot of the participants there, I do a women's group and a men's group every Friday morning for years. That's a harm reduction approach. So they're trying to, like, you know, upskill and everything else, but it's harm reduction. So if you have a slip, you're not thrown out, basically, you know. And it's both heartwarming and heartbreaking sometimes,
yeah,
you know. So in that situation, like you say, if somebody's raw and they're real and they're feeling sore, painful, then you have to just get real with it. It's not about projecting false positivity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's always hope. Like, do you ever hear of this thing called kintsugi? No, right? Imagine you had...
I feel bad because we haven't heard of anything that you're at the mention.
No. Do you know what? That's all right. Like, I'm only learning it. I'm only picking these things up as I go, and hopefully, like, you get... But you know, like a porcelain plate?
Yeah.
So years ago in Japan, that was like... My granny down in Clare actually used to have all the porcelain plates on the wall and all. And my sister still collects them. My sister, Saoirse, she loves a good plate, you know. But
never eat off them. Yeah,
those are display ones. Yeah. Yeah. So back in the day, though, if a plate broke, you threw it away, you know. And then in the 16th, I might get the years wrong, but in the 16th century, there was this emperor and he loved his plate, right? He loved this fucking plate. And someone dropped the plate and broke it. And they're thinking, oh, bollocks, he's going to, you know, that's it. Off at the head type of job. But he's seen it. And he's, instead of that, he goes, no. He got a goldsmith to rub gold powder into glue and stuck the plate back together, right? And then the plate was broken into bits, but it was all put back together. And then where the cracks were is now gold. And then he put it back up front and centre. And he's just showing you, like, right, in life sometimes we get broken or we pick up scars. Who goes through life without getting battle wounds? Do you know what I mean? Emotionally and physically. But instead of, like, hiding your scars away and being like, oh, God, you celebrate them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a life that you've lived. So you always say that to people in recovery. Like, I think I was embarrassed in early recovery to say stuff like alcoholic or whatever it might be. And then you realise, hang on a minute, my recovery is the gold putting me back together. Do you know what I mean? I don't discard myself. I put myself back together with love and creativity and fellowship and friendship and all the rest of it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I have a great man in my life as well, Mick O'Brien. Do you know the band The Druids? They sang that Katie Taylor song recently. Yeah. Let's give them a plug. Let's get Katie Taylor song to number one. It made it to number two. And The Druids, Mick O'Brien, Gary and the lads, old school, 30 years doing the rebel music. And then they did this song for Katie and she gave them a shout out and all. And but he does a lot of good work in this recovery space. And I rang him on the way here and all for a bit of advice. So having good men in your life that you can ring if you're a little bit nervous or whatever. And you can say it unapologetically. Now we're at a stage where we kind of, do you know what I mean? It's very shorthand. But years ago, I was able to kind of take the mask off a bit and share truth with different strong men in my life. And now I'm fortunate enough that I can maybe give that back. It's like a give and take, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and still have that today. Like, lean into trusted vulnerability. That's what I say. Mm. Because you don't want to be walking around, you know, certain parts of the city and being like, I'm vulnerable.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? They're going to rob your phone. Like.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to get home at night. But you can have, like, trusted mates. And, do you know what I mean? Lads that get it. And you can kind of say when you're at a stage. Like, that's what recovery is to me.
Yeah.
You know what
mm-hmm. I mean? And the thing is, there's no one size that fits all. So, like, giving people as many tools as possible. Oh. That, like, imagine you said to someone, like, I'm about to try an A, B and C, I'm bollocks, and you're like, well, you know, there's a D, E and an F.
Yes.
You can keep going.
But don't tell them about the E's, they're probably trying to get rid of them. That's why they're in recovery.
You know, there's a 1, 2, 3 and a 4, 5 and a 6.
100%. But do you know what it is as well? We talked about, you asked earlier, Terrence, do I miss it? I swear to God, like, someone described addiction like a crazy lover. Do you know, like, and it's like, what do you mean, like, a crazy lover? And it's like, you know, one of them, like, crazy ones where it's, like, mad crack, like. But then the next morning, it's pure bunny boiler stuff, and there's, like, you know what I mean? Scary stuff. And you kind of say, I have to separate from this situation because it's not healthy for me. But then years later, if you're lonely, you start getting this euphoric recall about the good times.
And not the bad, yeah.
And then you have to remind yourself of the anxiety or whatever it might be. And, yeah, and you start, instead of, like, trying to find salvation in another person or substance, you start finding it in yourself. Someone was saying to me before as well, you see, like, imagine a time in your life that was just pure brilliant, like, just joyful, happy, yeah? Well, like, that's an example, right, for you. Maybe your listeners will do it. If they just like think of something that brought them great joy, and then start to bring the awareness after a minute when you really visualize it into your heart, and you start to witness what's happening in your body when you start to imagine that thing that brought you joy, it starts to have a physiological impact. You start to feel different in your chest, like a lightness in your chest. Just like on the flip side, if you think about something terrifying, you'll tense up. And then if you take that awareness away and into the relaxation, then you remind yourself, hang on a minute, that terror and that relaxation was in me to begin with. It wasn't necessarily the thought, because that thought is about something that's already gone. Do you get me? So you can always like tap into that. Do you get me?
Yeah.
It's just really about being aware, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
getting on top of it.
Yeah.
But like, I think, who said it to us that was on the podcast before? It could have been Jerry Hussey or someone like that said, like,
yeah,
thoughts are physical as well. And I was like, well, how would you work that one out? And he was like, well, if you think of an embarrassing moment,
yeah,
you will physically go red.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're onto something there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, it makes sense. Then you can think yourself into a physical feeling. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
We're all saying from a bad thought.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you
yeah.
get on top and be like, no, that was just a bad thought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not actually what's happening. Then you reverse that effect of going red.
Or like we're talking about, like, say, like the runners or the boxers. Like I did a thing with Stephen Ormond. You know Steve Ormond?
Yeah.
Stephen the Rock. Oh, he was a fan of his when I was a young fella. He was a European champion four times. I think he got to a world title eliminator and stuff. Like he almost had that, like unreal boxer, like 32 out of 34 fights, something like that. Like deadly. Anyway, legend. He's talking about that visualization. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're thinking you're going to win, you're thinking you're going to win, you're thinking you're going to do it, you're giving yourself confidence and strength. And on the flip side of that, if you're like, I'm not going to win, I'm not good, you're actually weakening yourself.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So kind of just trying to kind of promote that aspect of yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
James, I know you specialise, so you specialise in yoga, prep work, martial arts, but you also specialise in burnout.
Mm.
So earlier on there, we done prep work for anxiety and then kind of getting G'd up. Have you any tips or breathwork about burnout? Because I think that's probably the most applicable thing to everybody, because too much of anything, no matter what it is, whether it be training, whether it be work, whether it be social life, relationships, you're going to get burnout, physically and mentally.
What would be my advice for burnout? Can you catch the signs of it before you get there? Because if you get severe burnout, like it can knock you off your feet, it could make you bedbound, you know? But if you can kind of catch the symptoms along the way, prevention is better than the cure.
Yeah.
You know, we talked earlier about recovery, but like, I think recovery applies to everyone. Like, all right, there's the obvious ecstasy and alcohol and whatnot, but like, what about like negative thinking or overworking or toxic relationships or money or whatever it might be, you know? People kind of get fixated on acquiring or escaping into something, right? And that there is the root of a lot of the things that's going to take away your peace of mind, right? So where does burnout come from? Well, say like you're working towards a goal, but you're like the car, like that. I love learning in simple metaphors, like the Ferrari. If it doesn't have a pit stop, no matter how great a car it is, if it's not refueled, it's going to stop. So it's kind of like when you're noticing your batteries are running low, figuring out your personality type to see what gives you that like G up, right? Because there's an infinite amount of energy in our tummies, in the holy well. So how do we access it? So my routines that work for me, but it might not be for everyone, could be like sea swimming. I love all year round jumping into the cold water. I love it. Sauna. Sauna is real good for the cardiovascular. If you're not into running and all, you're kind of opening and closing different valves there, and it's really good for the heart and calming your central nervous system. Reading or writing or listening to music and actively listening to it. Meditation, walking, and when you're walking, like leaving kind of digital devices alone for that 20 minutes, you know, because you're not actually letting your brain calm down. I signed up for this Vipassana. It's a 10-day silent meditation retreat. That's pretty extreme, but that's where I'm at with it. I want to kind of go it, but figuring out a creative outlet that is allowing you to switch off for that minute. If you're a parent and you're working hard and then you have to go home and put on daddy hat or whatever, even though you want, you know all the cliches about when the plane's going down, you put on your own life jacket first. There's a lot to be said for them cliches. Yeah. So like when you're driving home after a day on the site or whatever job you're doing, and then you have to go in and now play daddy, there's a lot to be said for stopping for 20 minutes, turning on something in the car, doing your own little breathing, allowing you to just be you for a minute before going into the kids. And someone might say, no, you want to spend every minute with them, and you should, but wouldn't it be better giving yourself 20 minutes to go in to be that better version of yourself than maybe carrying in what you've dealt with throughout the day?
Yeah.
If you're in an employment setting, maybe looking at systems around like how you're scheduling your day. Like a lot of kind of the bigger businesses today, they have a lot of this tied in now. Like they know that worker productivity is linked with preventing burnout. So the bigger companies are spending money on it. Do you know what I mean? I've spent a lot of time in the community sector, but I'm doing a little bit now in the business, like with Mondello, and I'm looking at other ones as well. So if there's any businesses out there looking for a bit. But in smaller companies or in family setups and family dynamics, the same is applied. So as the father, as the boss, or as the leader, it's on you to kind of look and say, really, people are getting tired. There's a few too many sick days. What's going on? Can we reschedule it? Do you know? Keeping it simple. So don't know if that answered your question, did it?
No, it did, yeah. I like the prevention is better than the cure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being kind to yourself. We're always chasing stuff. Do you know, I ain't going to be happy when I have a six pack, or I ain't going to be happy when I have another zero in my bank account, or when I have X or when I have Y. But, you know, happiness is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion. You're not either of them things. In Irish, we say, Tá brán orm. Sadness is on me. I'm not sadness. It's just something, an emotion is on you. Seek contentment on the journey. Do you know what I mean? And I want to say one last thing, and I just listened to it in the car on the way here. Did you ever hear of Alan Watts? He's a legend, right? Google Alan Watts, they can. He's this Zen master. He's cool, but a lot of kind of like, I don't know why I'm moving my head and hand like that, but a lot of kind of DJs are linking his speeches with music now. It's banging, like, do you know what I mean? But he says about talking. If we were here today, and I ramble a bit, so I have to kind of stop myself sometimes, but imagine like for the entire hour, 10 minutes or whatever it was, one of us spoke exclusively and no one else said a single word. It'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it? Like, do you know what I mean? Like in life, you have to pause to hear what other people have to say. Otherwise, after an hour, 10 hours, 10 days, you're not learning that and you're just the one. What's the difference between that and your thoughts? Right? What's the difference between that and your thoughts? Like if you don't stop thinking for a second to be present enough to hear and see, all of a sudden you're thinking about thinking. So you're never actually experiencing life because you're just going through the whole of life thinking. So you need to kind of calm the thinking for a second to just see what the fuck is going on. Otherwise you're in Thailand on the beach and you're thinking about bleeding,
yeah,
thinking about thinking, you know? Like that Oasis song, isn't it?
Like Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, life is fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it.
Perfect.
I should have said that was me.
Yeah.
Claim it.
Seamus, we'd listen to you all day. We're definitely going to do a part two because we didn't even get into anything about where you're from and what we like to do on the podcast, but we were just rambling. Like you said, you could talk for Ireland.
Yes.
But you're great to listen to and you have a good energy about you. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a part two with you and possibly a part three and four for when Calvin is stressed, we get you in and fucking do a bit of breath work.
And we get a retreat in as well.
We'll get
have you got a retreat coming up?
We will. We're going to run that Soulful Sunday again.
Yeah.
And then every Thursday night in Clondalkin. I've been running a class there for the last 6 years in Clondalkin. Every Thursday night. Every Saturday morning I have a class in Nice. I was only in Edenmore yesterday, a women's wellness group in Edenmore on a Monday morning. I'm there every third week and that's open to all the women in the community. In Tuesday evening, I'm in Nice in the movement studio. Every Friday, I'm in Ballyferma. I do a women's and a men's group there. Now that you'd have to kind of go through it. So they're the kind of like every week, if you want to dip in for a class, 75 minute class, you know. The martial arts, I got coached under a man, Ilya Salerno. In Italian, the Italian Stallion, brilliant martial artist, you know, and he trained me. So I'm running Nice, Bushido out in Nice there. People want to kind of do that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the retreat thing, definitely, there's one another one in the works, but I'm just honoured that you's had me in here today and you're a great man, you know, and you're doing God work, whether you know it or not. And Yeah, really grateful. And a par two sounds bleeding smashing.
Yeah, 100%. Now, we appreciate you coming on and giving us your time as well. Where can people find you on social media? What's your name on Instagram and so on and so forth?
Yes, as I said, like Mindful Rambler, that's me. Like, I have the website there, but I'm trying to grow the YouTube. I'm over 1,000 subs now on YouTube, and we're going to put the Damo documentary up there. The Ken O'Driscoll doc is up, the Stephen Armand doc is up, and then little like short videos. But Instagram, I'm on Instagram. I'm late to the party. I want to go into it. I did this yoga crack in like 35 countries now. So I've been all over with it. And at the time, I was like, I want to be present. So I didn't take any photos. My sister's telling me, you're mad. Why don't you record it? But I just didn't. So
I'm like that as well. I've been to so many countries and I was like, if you go onto my Instagram, it's like, oh, you went to Spain.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'd love to kind of chat about those experiences and what the lessons from other cultures as well. And loads to kind of talk about.
Yeah, well, we're going to do it again soon, 1,000,000%.
Gentlemen. Yeah. A million, lads.
Is that it? Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week. And thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything. And I mean everything. Sofa sorted, beds covered, dining table, 6 chairs, boom, all in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound, they're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal, unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up in. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker. Come down.